Human trafficking is our topic on this portion of Vocal Point and how to fight it. Our guest is Jeff Rogers, who's co-founder and CEO of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. He's also a former vice president at IBM, and recently he wrote an article, or actually an op-ed, in the Washington Examiner against human trafficking. Their website is usiaht.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Sure. Okay. You, in your article in the Washington Examiner, you make an analogy to drug-free zones and how that helped a bit, you know, helped in fighting drugs.
Sure.
And that maybe we could do the same thing to fight human trafficking.
Yeah. So I'll tell you where that came from, really, is, for example, you're driving down the street and you drive by a school, and you see a big banner on the side of the school, and it says drug-free zone. Everyone knows immediately what that means. I mean, it means that that school has taken a stance against drugs. It doesn't even mean there's no drugs in that school. It shows a zero-tolerance policy. And so for us, a trafficking-free zone is very similar. It is a community-based grassroots effort that is based upon some of the best practices that we've been able to find from across the entire country that we've pulled together for communities to implement. And so it has, whether it's the city council or the county commission or businesses, healthcare organizations, churches, et cetera, declaring themselves trafficking-free zones. So again, very similar to that drug-free zone notion, but it's these organizations and individuals saying, you know what, we just are not going to tolerate this in our community.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and give us an overview of the problem itself. What is human trafficking, and is it really going on in the year of our Lord 2019, and how extensive is it?
Well, I appreciate the question. We do know that globally the numbers differ, but one of the numbers we cite from the United Nations is that around 27 million slaves today across the world that are made up across labor trafficking, involuntary servitude, sex trafficking. And so that's at the global level. When we look at the United States, two things I can point out. One is that we know the United States is the number one consumer of sex worldwide. So we are the country that is driving the most sex trafficking across the entire globe. And interestingly and kind of sadly, many people inside the United States that even if they're aware of the problem of human trafficking, they aren't aware of the magnitude of the problem that's happening here inside the United States. And so that's where we're focused at the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Our focus is on the sex trade, on the sexual exploitation of children and sex trafficking across the United States. And as far as the magnitude here in the country, here again, the numbers vary, but based upon all of the numbers that we have and our own research, we would say that easily there's over 100,000 children under the age of 18 that are being sex trafficked in America every single day. So it's a very significant problem. These are U.S. kids being trafficked by U.S. citizens and being purchased by U.S. citizens.
Okay, all right, help me just break this down. You said earlier this is a problem on the magnitude of maybe 27 million human beings across the globe, but
yes.
Then you just gave a specific number of 100,000 in the U.S., but that's 100,000 children, and that's per day. They would obviously, that 100,000 number would include part of that 27 million, but obviously there's a lot of problems in other countries, too.
Oh, no question there's problems in other countries as well. But I'll tell you where we're coming from is we're looking at this inside the United States. And so I gave a number, an estimated number for kids, but if we look at the total number of people across the United States, here again the numbers could vary, but we would say maybe upwards of around 2 million individuals that are trafficked, human trafficked inside the United States that would cover involuntary servitude, forced labor, and sex trafficking. And so the numbers are then based, you know, split based upon there. But
okay.
Clearly,
yeah.
Even though it's happening worldwide, it's a problem here in the U.S.
All right, so let's focus on the U.S. since this is a U.S.-based program, although it's available through the Internet, you know, throughout the world, actually. But just the U.S., if we could. It's highly illegal in the United States, so if it's ever caught, you know, then thankfully the whole operation can be shut down and the people involved can be brought to justice and the prisoners set free. But it's not like you can go to New Orleans as you could in the antebellum days, that is pre-Civil War, as Abraham Lincoln did. I don't remember the decade, but it was before the 1860s, of course. He went to New Orleans. He saw the slave auction, human beings being sold publicly, you know, out in the open. Yeah. And, you know, said, this is, you know, may God help me to, and, you know, to fight this with everything I've got. And God did help him to fight it with everything he got. And the rest is history. But help me to understand, how does this actually work since it's so illegal in the U.S.?
Well, I think it's an interesting parallel that you draw when you talk about people being sold on the public square. So what we do know now is that with the advent of the Internet, around estimates would say maybe 70% of all sex is now sold online. And so just like you mentioned going to the public square and finding people for sale, it is just that simple to go on the Internet and onto certain websites that have been set up explicitly for this purpose. And I can log in, I can just go to that Internet site, and there on that site are human beings for sale for sex. So it is an interesting parallel you draw. It's very similar today, but online. And so these advertisements for these people have photographs, they have phone numbers, and the people who want to purchase them begin to engage with them through those phone numbers, and they line up those engagements. It's actually quite similar to what you mentioned.
Would most of these things, though, be a part of what's been called the deep dark web? In other words, it's kind of like, you have to know where to find it if you're so inclined, that if it were out in the public, then the FBI or whatever could shut down the operations.
So great question. So no, it's actually not specifically on the dark web. We are talking about mainstream websites that have individuals for sale for sex on them. And so if we look back to February of 2018, the U.S. Congress and then President Trump passed some very specific legislation to address part of this problem that shut down, for example, one of the most egregious offenders of this, which was Backpage.com, where you could easily go on to this website and find these individuals for sale and purchase them. The good news is this legislation helped to shut that website down and others like it. However, since then, some very bold individuals, some bold criminals have opened up new websites. And so it's back up online. And so you do not have to go to the dark web to find this problem going on.
Wow. All right. As far as the idea of creating traffic-free zones, human traffic-free zones, let's say whether we're talking about a region like a state or a county or a city, how would it actually work? What are you hoping to see?
Well, what we do believe, first of all, is at the national level, we know the federal government needs to do more in this topic to help shut this down at the federal level across the country, but that won't end it. We also know at the state level, the state governments need to do more and get more organized across their state, but we also believe that won't truly end it. Where we believe that this problem can truly be stopped is at the community level. And so when we look into a community, we identify businesses or individuals or, like I said, churches or the county government, city government. All of these organizations and individuals have a sphere of influence. And so the focus of the trafficking free zone is to assist that organization and individual to help stop human trafficking within their sphere of influence. And much of that focus is on the topic of demand. And so, as you mentioned in the beginning, I come out of IBM, so I come from a business background. And so in now looking at this problem of sex trafficking, if we look at it for a moment through this business lens, what we can see is that it's really a supply answer to a demand problem. So the reason there are people being sold for sex is because there's the demand for it. And that's why the traffickers have stepped in, because of the amount of money that they can make. And so they step in, they identify the vulnerable people that they're going to lure and force into this industry, and then the buyers are driving the demand, and that's the supply that's being filled. And so the Trafficking Free Zone program is very much focused on helping to engage and stop that demand, because we believe if at a community level, if each community can step in and begin to truly focus on fighting that demand, then that's when we're going to see a major decrease in the overall human trafficking problem within that community.
Tell us a success story along these lines.
Well, I'll tell you, up in Seattle is the best success story that we can identify, and that's actually the community that we've based this program on. And so one of the things we did when we founded the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking 2.5 years ago is we said, you know what, we don't want to invent new wheels. So there are thousands and thousands of organizations across the country fighting trafficking right now, and that's wonderful. But so many of them are trying to figure out what they can do within their community to fight trafficking, and so there's a lot of wheels being reinvented. So when we stepped into this, what we said is we want to identify who's doing it best already instead of trying to invent our own processes and our own programs. And so we did that. We scoured the country to find who's doing it best. And I'll tell you, Seattle, Washington, up in King County, was the community that we found, hands down, the best example we could find at battling demand. And so we engaged with them. The county prosecutor up there was leading the charge. We engaged them. We engaged some organizations up there and worked with them to learn what they've done. And they readily just shared with us what they've done over the past several years. And so we've taken those practices and we've identified some other success stories from across the country and pulled that together into this Trafficking Free Zone program. But I can tell you up in Seattle, when they focused on demand, when they had, and I'll tell you, the thing that they shared with us, probably the most profound thing, was that when they had all the different sectors of society firing away at demand at the same time, that's when they saw success. And so the definition of success, really, what does that mean there? Well, it's hard to measure demand, but the one measure that they did have on demand, they were able to see over a 30% decrease in demand over a several-year period by the focus. And when we saw that, we said, you know what, if we could take that and replicate that across this country and into communities around the land, that's a huge success. And so that's really where our focuses lie.
Can you give an example of how they help to undercut demand?
Well, one example I can give you is with a business. So when a business declares itself a trafficking-free zone, what that really means is, first of all, they're putting a stake in the ground, and they're letting their employee population know, we're not going to tolerate any kind of sex trafficking occur within this business. Well, what does that mean? Well, one of the studies they did up in Seattle is they studied women engaged in prostitution, and they found that around, I think it was 68% of women that they studied, that they talked with, had actually met their buyer on business property. And that's a shocking statistic for a business. Another statistic they found is that 2 p.m. is the time of day when most buyers are online lining up their sex engagement for after work. And so these are two statistics that show, man, this is a problem for employers. And so when a business says we're a trafficking-free zone, it puts the employees on notice, but then they roll out education to the entire employee population, let them know what is human trafficking, what drives it, and the fact that it's not tolerated here. And then another major item is to change their employee practices, to change their HR guidelines and their policies within their HR handbook that basically say, you know what, you cannot buy sex. If you're going to work here, very similarly to drugs, you can't have drugs in your system, you can't do drugs. Even if at home, you can't do drugs if you're going to work here. Well, they're taking a similar line against sex trafficking, saying you cannot buy sex because it's an illegal activity. And if you get caught doing that, you aren't going to work here anymore. And so that's one example within a sphere of influence of a business, how they can really have a major impact on the employees that work for them.
Huh. All right, we have 45 seconds left to go. What else would you like to say? And by the way, just real quick question, which is the bigger problem, sex trafficking or labor trafficking?
Well, I'd say the statistics vary on that. I think labor trafficking by number is probably a larger percentage of the trafficking that goes on inside the United States. Our focus is actually on sex trafficking, starting with the opening of the Boys Safe Home that we opened in Florida, really the first Boys Safe Home in the entire country for young male victims of sex trafficking. And so that's really where our focus on sex trafficking comes from.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us and fascinating. And God bless all your efforts here. Let me give you your website again. It is usiaht.org. Jeff Rogers, co-founder and CEO of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Thank you, Jeff, for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry. God bless.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.